This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to the brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 83, The Mummy Returns from 2001. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is...
Nate, from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen The Mummy Returns?
Whew. Okay, so watching it, I now realize it's been a really long time because I didn't even remember half the stuff that was happening in this movie. So I'm going to say minimum 12 years. It's got to be at least 12 years. There's no way I saw this in the last 12 years because I would have remembered it. So it's been a long time.
Well, this one is just like the first one for me. I always watch The Mummy Returns. Like okay. The first two movies, I'm always watching it. So I can't give you like a specific time, date, whatever. But again, if it's on TV, I stay there watching it. So we're going to talk about why we stay there glued to the TV when The Mummy Returns are there. But again, if you guys are new to this channel and you guys are on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. If you enjoy these videos, please hit those like buttons, hit those notification bells. So every time videos drop or we go on live November 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern, you guys will be notified. And of course, you guys could take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys Podcast, available on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, anywhere that the podcasts are in those platforms. But just please hit those auto downloads so every time audios drop, you guys will be notified. But with that said, for those of you that are new to this show, what you guys do, we do box office numbers, Rotten Tomatoes, and then we go right into our movie review. So let's start off with some box office numbers of The Mummy Returns from 2001. Starting off with domestic, $202 million. International, $241 million. On a worldwide total of $443 million on a budget of $98 million, Nate.
So made more overall, but not by much than the first movie. Made more domestically, but I feel like it made less overseas. And the combination led to a slightly higher. Okay, makes sense. I mean, it's in the ballpark. They both made over $400 million and both had a budget under $100 million. So success.
Yeah, it's a pretty good success. And now we got to see why was it a success. But with that said, Nate, give us some critics and audience scores from the Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, so this one has a decline. We got a decline on both. Critic score, 47%. Did not like it that much or as much as the first one. Audiences, if you remember, 75% for the first one. This one, 63. So audiences liked it slightly less, but still over that 60% threshold that is like, you know, considered pretty good. So yeah, so lukewarm, we'll call it lukewarm if you combine the two numbers together.
Yeah, look, with that said, we throw those scores out the window and we're about to give you guys our scores and review on The Mummy Returns from 2001. Starting off, when I host, Nate always takes over from the category. So with that said, lead characters again, Rachel Weisz and then Brendan Fraser. So take it over. Lead character.
Okay. All right. So I watched this movie and I was like, man, I remember certain scenes kind of in my head, but I don't remember the whole movie. And I'm watching it and they're good. They're still good. They're not as good as the first one. I think it's because of the setting of the movie. You're like, they're already together. They're married. They have that annoying kid. Like, there's not like The love story element. I hated that kid. They didn't have that love story element of the first movie where they were getting, you know, meeting. And so when you take that out, you know, that hurts overall. And there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to say for story. But for now, I'll say I like them slightly less than the first movie. And by slightly, I mean I gave him a 4.5 in the first and I gave him a 4 in this. Not much. Still good. Still like Brendan Fraser. Good adventure role. Rachel Weisz actually way more gorgeous in this movie. I don't know what happened. A couple years later, and she looked amazing. And she did some fighting. She did some action and stuff. But overall, just slightly, I liked them better in the first. Maybe it was the love story. I don't know. But a 4.
Yeah, look, for me, I mean, I gave it a 4.5. I enjoyed them more in this story. I felt like they continued their relationship in this. They're very in love. They're always kissing each other everywhere. Which is cool, right? I guess they're just young love. But you're right. Look, they're both attractive people. It's not like they're not. I like that whole nod to Indiana Jones where he's wearing the hat and the leather jacket when he walks into the house with the scarf when he's holding their crap. I thought that was cool. She's very, like you said, she's very gorgeous. I love the whole when she's a very good dynamic actress. Like when she plays both roles, and we'll talk about that in the storyline, what we're talking about here. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. But yeah, no, other than that, like, I thought in a whole nutshell, it wasn't a degress from the characters. Like, even if it's a stalemate, it didn't hurt the characters. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, whereas sure. Rush Hours, it just felt up and down. Like, it was like a seesaw for me, those characters. But with this one, I gave it 4.5. But let's get to my man Emo Temp again as the main villain.
All right. That's a 2. I gave him a 2. Look, this ain't the Emo Temp from the first movie. And I don't know whose decision it was. First of all, this movie has 942 bad guys in it. It is way too many villains. You got the Scorpion King. You got Imhotep. You got the reincarnated body of freaking Inoxuna Moon. You got these guys with the red outfits and the museum. Like, I'm like, everywhere you turn around, there's a new villain in this movie popping up. This is like the superhero movies where they put too many. Like Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3, or it's too many villains. Yeah. But Imhotep, he was so whack in this movie compared to the first one. Like, okay, the only mummy thing he does is he does the same exact thing he did in the first movie with the sand, with water instead of sand. Other than that, he doesn't really do. He doesn't kill all these people and suck out all their, you know, their organs and all that kind of stuff. He's not as menacing as he was in the first one. He's barely, like, maybe it was just me, but I don't know. Maybe you would agree. There are scenes where, especially, like, with the kid, like, he does the water thing, he walks over and just, like, pats the kid. He just seemed like an uncle in this movie. He just seemed like Uncle Imhotep, walking around, being an uncle, being a little bit mean, but not very scary. And then at the end, when the Scorpion King comes out, like, he's a coward. He's, like, hiding. He's trying to do all. I didn't like it, especially compared to how amazing he was in the first movie. So I gave him a 2. I was very disappointed, very let down. I don't remember him being this lame, but he was lame. Didn't like it.
Yeah, look, in terms of, you know, I gave him a 4. And I guess in terms of this one tackled more of his love with Oxyana Moon, or whatever her name is, that character.
An Oxyana Moon. Yeah,
Oxyana Moon. Yeah, to me, I felt like this story was more on that. And then, of course, him fighting Scorpion King. And you're right. You know, like, he does become a coward, but he kind of realized he can't beat him without his powers. Like, he thought he was just going to walk in there with his powers and go one-on-one, which I would have preferred if they would have did powers on powers. But we did not get that. They took it away. No. And he was a human. So, and I guess they did that to balance out him and Rick, because there would be no way Rick fighting a god and another god at the same time. But in terms of him, I kind of understand what you mean. I mean, he does suck the soul of the guys when they lock him in the train and she opens up the chest.
Those are the only 3. Yeah, that's true.
Right. So that's like when he regenerates. But other than that, you're absolutely right. Like, but the only reason why I gave him the 4 score is because I felt like he was more humanized in this one. Even towards the end, when she basically when he sees the love of Rick and what's her name? The Rachel Weisz's character, Evie.
Evelyn.
Eve. When he saw that love, and then she risked herself coming back from the dead, she risked herself to save Rick, and then he calls out for his love, and then all of a sudden she's like, ah, peace, I'm out. He's like, you know what? I did all this for nothing, man. I did 2 sequels for nothing. But look, for me, I see it from the emotional side, but I do agree with you. It was totally a letdown in terms of the villain role for Imhotep. He totally a 360 from the first movie. This one's kind of like a soft reboot, but it is what it is. I gave him a 4. You gave him a 2. Favorite category, my friend, action scenes.
All right, so this one actually has, I'll say, I think the action in this movie is better as far as action scenes than the first movie. I will say this is the only thing in this movie that I think would surpass the first movie. And it wouldn't be something I would normally think of, but because we do a podcast where we rate action specifically, I think it's slightly better. I do really like the scene in the house early on when all the red guys are there in the house and there's lots of shooting and jumping out the windows and fighting and snakes and... That was cool. It was a lot of fun. I did enjoy that. I enjoyed the big shootout when they first wake up Imhotep at the thing. Mm-hmm. And Ardeth Bey, which, by the way, I forgot to mention in the last review, Ardeth Bey, who is the name of their magi, their friend with the long hair. Ardeth Bey is the name that Boris Karloff used in the original Mummy when he's trying to pretend to be human. So that's a little nod to the original 1930s. Either way, I like that scene a lot. I like when they're outside and he's like, you want the shotgun? It's like, no, I'll take the Thompson. I thought it was cute. I like their, you know, I like their kind of dynamic. But that, I think they were slightly better executed in this movie, more of a budget or something along those lines. But I just feel like the action scenes were better executed. And not only that, I think they were a little longer in this movie. You know, there's like 3 or 4 big set pieces. So I give it a, I'm going to give it a 4.5. I give the first one a 4. I think this one's a little better. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I gave this movie a 4.5 also. I like the action. I agree with you. And I love the action in the tour bus with the dudes that I like from the first
movie. That's the other one. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was really badass.
Yeah, and then that
was fun. And they got the emotional when they took Alex and the bridge was going up and he's running like, ah! And I'm like, I'm Alex. I'm right here, Papa. Right? So, like, that was that Papa, was fun.
Papa Rick.
Yeah, Papa Rick. But, yeah, no, like, I like that. The Scorpion King fight, I'm a little because the CGI wasn't that good. But, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, it's 2001, and I can't nitpick that. But I kind of like the execution of everything, like how everything folded. I love the fight between the Scorpion King army versus the Mendites or whatever they called.
At the beginning?
Yeah, that was pretty cool when he took the land. And one thing I did like, too, is when they show the Rock, right? And he's standing there, and then the guy's telling the story. And then he said that the Scorpion King came and took his powers away or whatever. He was standing behind them. I don't know if you saw it. With the glowy eyes, that guy, what's his name? The god Ares or Ra?
It was
Oasis?
Oh, my gosh. Who was it? I just watched it. No, the Oasis where they put him. It was a freaking... I can't remember I know what you're talking about.
He was standing behind...
It was Egyptian gods,
yeah. He was standing behind him, and he took... Oh, you see him take it away. He goes, "Raw!" I thought that was funny. But anyway, other than that, I gave it a 4.5. I agree with you. The action scenes is really good in this movie. It was really a step up from the first, but the first was more an adventure than action for me in this one. But with that said... Let's see your storyline.
All right. So here's where we go off the rails. I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. I saw this movie in the theater when I was 14 years old. Okay. 14. And when I left the theater, I was like, wow, that was great. That was a lot of fun. I love that movie. Right. I used to like this movie a lot when I was younger. Watching it now as an adult who has now seen a lot of movies and watches a lot of movies. This is an absolute mess. This whole entire movie is an absolute mess narratively from a storytelling. It is like, I'm like, you don't know how many times I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm like, what is happening? And why? You don't know how many times I said, why is this happening? Things that never were mentioned in the first movie, never even almost thought of all of a sudden, like are. And I hate when sequels do that. I absolutely hate it. You're telling me Rick has this tattoo for a long time on his wrist. And he's hanging out with this Magi guy in the first movie for mad long. And they know each other for like years. And this guy just now sees this tattoo. He's like, oh, you're actually a Magi. Look, and now you're telling me that Rick is part of the Magi because stupid. Then the first movie, you know, Evie's this, she's a mousy character. She's a librarian, whatever. You know, Imhotep tries to take her. It is said that her mom is Egyptian. Okay, fine. And so that's whatever. But then all of a sudden, she's also like a descendant of Nefertiti. And she has these visions where she can... There's one scene that is so cringy when they're on the blimp. And she's like, it's like going back and forth in time. And she like looks away. And then she looks back at the camera. I can't even... I almost had to like fast forward. I was like, I can't look at this. I hate cringy stuff. Oh my gosh. Like, it was so stupid. I don't like when things are just... They just... The movie says, well, we know you watch this whole other movie. And none of this happened, but... We're just going to say that this is all the case. I do not like it. I gave it a 2. It's a mess. It's a mess. And I can honestly see why the critics might... I didn't read any reviews, but I could see why maybe they were a little harder on this one. Because from a narrative perspective, it's kind of a disaster. And that's all I'll say for now. So 2 for me.
I don't... Dude, I honestly... To be honest with you, I don't know. I cannot see. I saw this movie as Evil Dead 2 to Evil Dead 1. Where it's just totally a 360 movie. From the first movie, like they rebooted, you know, how Evil Dead 2 rebooted the first one, but they call it a part 2. This one was kind of the same thing. It's it did continue, but it was kind of like a soft reboot. Like they added them with more stuff to each of the characters.
I don't know. Did it hurt it? It felt like a straight sequel.
I mean, it did, but I think they switched it up a bit. Like, they just changed it up. And
they did.
They did. I mean, I didn't have no problems with that. I mean, it didn't bother me with him having, the triangle that his son has got the Scorpion King thing. It didn't bother me. Didn't I enjoy the story? Yeah, I did. I thought the whole thing with her being Nefertiti and Nefertiti.
Nefertiti, Rachel Weisz.
There you go.
Nice.
Right? Well, whatever the character they know.
Nefertiri.
Yeah, Nefertiri. Yeah, there you go. Hey, Nefertiri, right? It didn't bother me. I think to me it was pretty cool. I mean, there was what's it called? Like when you get reborn again, I guess. That's
like reincarnated?
Yeah, reincarnated. Like she was just a reincarnated, like they all had their reincarnated thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
Of course, the reincarnation of Anaxinamuna and the reincarnation of Nefertiri, who knew each other way back then, are all of a sudden going to cross paths again a thousand years later. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Nothing I can say with that, man. I mean, I didn't write the movie.
But whoever did a terrible job.
I don't know. I enjoyed the story. I thought it was pretty good. I got really sad when they stabbed her. I was shocked, bro. When I saw that in the theater, I got really sad. I was like, yo, you stabbed my girl, Rachel, because I was kind of tight. And I was like, no way. But then the boy was like, he could read it. And I was like, that's awesome. Yeah. Alice came to save the day. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Listen, it's too much. One thing I hate
coincidences.
Is super conveniences. Yeah, where it's just like, just happened to be this, and we just happened to be that, and we just happened to be this, and we could raise him from the dead. And it's like, it gets too much. At a certain point, even in a movie like this, it's like there's too many of them, and I don't like that.
Okay.
But for me, but I see where you're coming from.
No. It is what it is. I gave it a 4.5. I enjoyed the story. I liked this movie a lot. And again, this is the reason why I watch both a lot. Let's get to overall, because I kind of see the pattern where we're going.
Listen, I will be honest with you.
Okay.
Yes. And I'll be honest with you even more. This is a movie that falls into a very specific category for me. There's like a big number of movies that fall in this category. And what I like to call this category is, I think this movie is watchable crap. I think it is a disaster on a lot of levels. I wasn't mad when it was like, I didn't watch it. And when it was over, I was like, oh, what a waste of life. I could watch it again. There's enjoyable element. I like the action scenes. I still do like the lead characters. You know, I gave him a 4. Sure, there's too many villains. Now, we're ranking Imhotep. He wasn't great, but the pantheon of the millions of villains they have, the plethora, the zombie monkeys, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun, even if it's tremendously stupid, if that makes sense. So I don't think it's a good film. I think it's actually a bad film. I also think it's a very watchable bad film. So I don't hate the movie. If I'm going to score it, I am going to score it. I'm going to go right down the middle. I'm going to give it a 3. I don't think it's nearly as good as the first. I think the first one is so amazing and well-written and structured. And this one's kind of just all over the place, but it's also like, it's kind of watchable. I kind of laughed. I like the big black, the guard, when they're in the thing, in the train. It's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And that scene could have been annoying, but it was kind of funny because of his reaction. And when he stabs him, he's like, you have great aim. And he's like, I missed. Like, that was kind of funny, you know? So yeah, I had a good time with it. I just don't think it's very good. So I gave it a 3.
Oh, my Lord. All right. And with that said, look, I like this movie. I enjoyed the sequel a lot. Look, I gave it overall to me, I gave it a 4.5. I enjoyed this movie and I love watching them, whether they're back to back or solo or I catch it on TV or whatnot. I like it for what it is. But
it's watchable
crap.
Not for me. Yeah.
No. I mean, it's a guilty pleasure. If you really look at it, if that's what you're thinking about, that's what it is to you, is a guilty pleasure, right? It's crap to you, but it's something that you will continue watching because of Rachel.
I can sit through it. Yeah, and there's some fun. You know, the stupid blimp it's really stupid, but it's kind of.
I mean, it is what it is. And I agree with you. Like, if I had to go with all three, but we're going to rank them, so I'm not even going to tell you what I will go with. But with that, I'll give you that. But look, with that said, he gave it a 3. I gave it a 4.5. Let's get to total points.
All right, so that makes my total 15.5 out of 25. It's not horrible. It's not horrible. It's not good, but I will always be able to pop this in. I will always be able to watch it. It looks great on 4K now. I know, Alex, we watched it in 4K, and he was telling me about some of the effects. There's one, if you have this on 4K, there's one in the beginning with The Rock, with this green, like, and you can see the green screen practically. He may as well have just turned around and see the big green wall, because it looks so bad.
When he's in the desert?
When he's in the desert, it turns into trees. And then when he's PS2 at the end, it just, is more glaring, but that's a sign of the times. I won't hold it against it. They used what they had and spent a lot of money on it. But I remember when I was a kid, I didn't think it looked that bad. So it is what it is. So the effects are fun, but 15 and a half for me.
Yeah, I give it a 22. Look, I enjoy the overall story. I think it's a great story. I think a lot. I got to see how many people enjoy this movie for what it is. Like, not knowing your side of the story, I want to see how many people have that point of view, right? Like, with the whole Rick's backstory and Rachel Weisz's character's backstory with the Egyptian being there. But I kind of also liked also that you saw it from her point of view with her father getting killed. We didn't get that in the first movie, right? When he was getting stabbed.
Some little backstory. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty when she told the guards to go, and that kind of makes sense, because I was like, where the hell did these guards come from? Like, I mean, they couldn't hear him scream, but now you knew that she called them out. But again, I mean, it is what it is. And I may have put a poll on Twitter to see what happens, or on Instagram and see what we get there.
I think most people will like it, because if before this rewatch, I would have said, oh yeah, I really like that movie. But it's also been a long time since I've seen it. Yeah. So, it could go either way. I might be in the minority, but it's kind of a disaster to me.
I'll say this. Do you enjoy this better than Rush Hour 3?
That's going to be the measuring stick.
That's Rush the Hour measuring 3? Stick, man.
Yeah, I would watch this before I watch Rush Hour 3.
Okay, yes. There you go.
I'll put it that way.
All
absolutely.
Right. So now you know what to do, what you got to do.
Yeah. All right. So that is The Mummy Returns. That was a fun review. I didn't think that was going to go that way when I sat down to watch it. Why am I getting mad? Anyway, next, we got another. This was a packed week for you. We got another new episode dropping. Mel Gibson, Bloodfather, Alex, first time watch. Me, I think maybe third time only, but we're going to be reviewing that. And then next week, we are moving on to, now I'm worried, because The Mummy 3, I only saw it once and I remember hating it. So now I'm like, well, if I like this one, I can't imagine what might happen there. And then on a good thing, we're going to balance that out with an absolute classic Mel Gibson movie, Braveheart. So, hey, at least we can wash the taste of Mummy 3. Unless, what if I like it? I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, those are going to be the next two reviews, so keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys Podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or Levels of Geeks on Instagram. And then, of course, our YouTube channel. On Levels of Geeks, you can follow us there. Hit those subscribe buttons if you're new to the channel. Hit the like buttons if you enjoy the reviews. And then, of course, hit those notification bells so when we go live on November 1st at 9 p.m. or videos drop, you guys will be notified. Till then, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.